you have your Bible with you, turn with me to John chapter 13. I'm going to invite you to stand with me this morning as we read from God's Word. It crossed my mind to have a little bit of object lesson visual, maybe to get you to thinking, but I was afraid that it would be distracting because of the visual would have been a chair and a basin of water and a towel. And some of you would have been so distracted by that that you wouldn't have enjoyed the songs that Edward selected to sing. You would have thought for sure we're going to have a foot washing service. Some of you, you might have been excited about that. But only as a visual. But that's what we're going to look at this morning. John chapter 13, I'm going to begin reading with verse number 4. Read verses 4 and 5, and then we'll skip down to verse 12. He rises from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Dropping down to verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them. So the activity's all finished now, and now he's beginning to bring it into the reality, into the object lesson truth. Know ye what I have done to you? What a question to begin. Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Father, we ask for your divine touch this morning. Would you allow the Holy Spirit to come and speak to our hearts today? May it be more than man speaking. Hide the human as much as possible and allow the divine to be seen. Allow the divine to be heard. We ask that in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I have given you an example. As I have done, he said. As I have done. You read through the Gospel of John, you'll quickly notice that this is very close, very near to the end. Jesus perhaps is beginning to feel within his spirit what is about to take place. Very possible that he is becoming heavy in spirit. You and I quite often hang on to things that are said or done in the last moments of a person's life. Some people would speculate that that's why Jesus waited to nearly the end to bring out this object lesson. Waiting till the closing hours of his earthly ministry, of his earthly life. And then he lays this object lesson literally at the feet of his disciples. And then when you think that Calvary may be or is nearly at hand, perhaps it would give even more significance to the object lesson. But Jesus tells us that he has given us an example. So let's take a note of his example. Let's notice how his example would be portrayed for us or what we can glean from his example. First of all, I think we need to understand that his example that he's given here is that he sets before us here is an example of practical service. It's an example of practical service. I like that saying that has been made popular in recent years, and maybe we hear it less now than we did a decade or so ago, but random acts of kindness. It's always encouraging to hear about somebody that would do something kind for someone else without them knowing about it. A random act of kindness. It's always encouraging to hear that kind of thing. Jesus has given us an example of practical service, doing something for somebody else that they may or may not be able to do for themselves, that is a service to them, an encouragement to them. I wonder what it could be that you and I could do in a practical service, what it could be that we might be able to be involved with in being practical in our service to somebody else. The Lord is getting ready to leave these men that He dearly loves. He loves them so much. He cares for them. He has grieved over them. Perhaps He even in quiet times, He has wept over them. We've seen Him weep in other places. Perhaps He has wept over these men. These were poor men. Maybe some of them had a little bit of money at one time, but they left all to follow Him. So it would appear that at this point in their lives, they didn't have much. They were poor. I'm sure that it crossed the mind of Christ, at least in the humanity of Christ, that He would like to leave His disciples with something. He would like to give them something. He didn't have any riches, earthly riches, so to speak, to give, although He could provide money in a fish's mouth and do all sorts of miracles. He just didn't have that in his earthly possession to do. But He had something so much greater. He leaves this visual of practical service as an expression of His love. You know, it's at this point that I wish that I had the visual here to look at and to realize. For us to be able to picture it with our own eyes, for us to be able to picture it in our imagination, the reality of what was taking place. You see, it's not a real big practical service in our day, our culture. I would suppose that all of the men here today have socks and shoes on. Most of the ladies have something on their feet of some kind of shoe and of some kind of a sock, maybe. But you see, we don't have that in our culture today where it's of a practical service to wash the feet. But what is it that we could do that would be of practical service? There's a lot of things that you and I can think of. There's a lot of things that the Holy Spirit can bring to our mind. And I really believe that that is the key, the element here of what Jesus is speaking to His followers, to His disciples, that they, in the midst of their poverty, or in the midst of their want, or in the midst of what they don't have, that they give in practical service to others. Why? Because the bottom line was that Jesus loved them. Jesus cared about them. Forget about all of the other problems. Forget about everything else. Forgetting what is about to take place, but brighten the day for somebody else. A practical service, random act of kindness. He said that this is His example and that He was expecting His followers to do it to others. That's really just one facet, though. That's just one portion of what the example is that we see set forward by Christ in this example. Perhaps the greatest one that we would find in this passage, that even, yes, it may even surpass the practical service example, that we would find here would be the example of humility. The reason why I suggest that it could surpass practical service is that if we don't have humility, if we are not being the servant of others, then that practical service may be hollow, may be empty. You know what Paul had to say. Though I give my goods to be, to feed the poor, and I give my body to be burned, and I do all sorts of things, if I don't have love, if I don't have that spirit of love, if I don't have that kindness that is needed. And you and I, no matter what takes place in our life, if we don't have love, if the heart isn't filled with love, then there's not going to be the heart of humility either. I believe that a great example here is of his humility. And if ever there's a day in which humility is needed, it would be our day. Why? Because that's the day we live in. Because that's the time when you and I are alive. We can't worry about the past. We can't be so concerned about the generations of the future as Jesus would tarry. But we have been given this block in time when we are to live and we are to be an example. And Jesus has given us that example of humility. Jesus Christ. It's a cliche in our day. It's a cliche in our circles. But Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. You know what I'm saying? The King of Kings. We can say that and roll off our tongues, but we may not feel it because we've been used to it. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the Creator of all. Yes, we know that. We understand that. We teach that. We believe that. But if we put it into the reality of context, we understand that that would indicate that Jesus Christ was the God of the universe, the supreme authority, the great one, the I am. And yet we see him bringing himself to this place where he laid aside his outer garment and he aproned himself with the towel and he lowered himself to be the servant or the one that washes the feet of his disciples. Surely it should have been the other way around. Surely Jesus should have said, Peter, I want you to take that towel and pour some water into that basin, and I want you to wash my feet. And while you're washing my feet, I'm going to teach you a lesson on being a servant. Isn't that more realistic? Isn't that more of what we think? But that's not the way Jesus did it. Jesus took it upon himself, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that is above all of them. And he laid aside and he knelt down and he washed their feet and he dried their feet. He provided a practical service even though he was the King of Kings. Matthew, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 20, he said, "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." That's the words of Christ. That's Jesus telling his disciples, that's Jesus telling his followers what is expected in this area of humility in the kingdom. He that is chief among you, or whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. I believe that it's safe to say, and you can argue if you want to, I just simply say that to open the door to those that may be willing to argue the point. But I think it's pretty safe to say that this is an eternal principle for the followers of Christ. That the followers of Christ should be willing to serve even the least of their fellow men. Somebody said it a little bit, it caught me with a little bit of humor anyway. Somebody said it this way, eager to humble themselves. And why it catches me with humor is because it, as humanity, we, I don't, I don't know that it's easy to humble ourselves. I believe that that's why we find on several occasions in God's Word the warning to the proud in heart, the one that seeks his own, always standing up for number one. But we find that somebody, some man of God said, stated that a person would be eager to humble themselves. Willing to perform even the most unpleasant of offices. And we probably ought to tag another word on there. Cheerfully. The bottom line is serving others. Service to others. We can see that. Surely that's plain in the passage that we've read this morning, in this passage of Scripture that tells us about him taking the basin of water and the towel and washing and drying the feet of his disciples. Surely we can understand that his example is for us to serve others and to do it cheerfully, willingly, even to eagerly humble ourselves. Not only does Jesus teach us in this passage to humble ourselves in this way, but also he teaches us in his words elsewhere that this humility is not just a sign to be showed outward or to be visible to somebody else by our actions, but it is also to be ever present in our spirit. That changes the dynamics. Because we may be able to coerce ourselves, we may be able to twist our arm far enough around to where we are eager to humble ourselves to serve somebody else and yet still not have that humility of spirit that is necessary for that act of service to be effective. This humility of spirit is of great importance. Again, let me refresh our mind and bring us back to who he is, the Lord of Lords, the Lord above all lords, the King above all kings, the King above all presidents, the King of all rulers. He's the Creator, the one that spoke the worlds into existence. Let's go back a few Wednesday nights to when we heard about how grand and glorious the universe is. As we study this, as we look at the lives of the disciples, we glean through the Gospels, we'll find that the disciples did not understand the concept, the whole concept of humility. Over and over again, we will find that the mindset of the disciples was stuck in a judgmental mindset. Over and over again, they were caught up in making and placing judgments. And over again, Jesus would say in so many words, "You're just not getting it." These disciples did understand one thing, I believe. I will give them this. I believe that they understood that they were disciples of the way, the truth, and the life. This one that they were following, Jesus Christ, was the way. He was the truth. He was the life. There was no way around it. They believed it. I believe that they believed it. And to them, that surely meant that anyone else, they were in error and they were heretics. It's given that. I mean, that's pretty much voiced in Luke chapter 9 and Mark chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, John answered and said, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name. We forbade him because he followeth not with us." He's not of our stripe. And Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. What a setback. John really thought he was doing something good. He really believed that because Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life, and anybody else, even though they were doing it in Christ's name, because they were not following with them, that they were heretics and needed to be put an end to their workings and a stop to what they were doing. It's pretty much stated the same way in Mark 9. John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him because he followeth not us. And Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me, for he that is not against us is on our part. John was acknowledging who the leader was. He wasn't trying to usurp the authority of Christ or set himself up even equal with Christ. He was acknowledging who the leader was. He was acknowledging who the master was, but his attitude was wrong. His spirit was wrong. Jesus was saying that there is this humility that comes even in our spirit. Believe that that should carry over to the act of service as we find Jesus portraying in action this humility. He said, as I have done, so should you do. So we find here that his example is of practical service and his example is of humility, and we also find that His example is of tender service. Which our practical service will not be unless it is touched by humility. Imagine the touch of Jesus on the feet of the disciples. We were looking last week about Jesus smiling or laughing, or I guess it was, it was Monday night at nursing home when I was talking about Jesus being joyful. If Jesus had a scowl on his face all the time, the children would not have been so comfortable going to him. Jesus was pretty firm. We find that there's a couple of records in the scripture where he wept. We don't find where he laughed and made jokes, and yet we find over and over again him talking about joy and my joy I give to you so that your joy may be full. Can you imagine, as we picture the tender heart of Christ, imagine the tender touch as he washed the feet of his disciples. If you ever are tempted to forget that you have a tender Savior, you can go back to this passage and think about this scene. And then when you bring in the idea, the thought, the reality that very, very soon his feet were to know the agony of the nails. His feet were to experience the pain of the driven nails. Not by the tender hands of people, but by the cruel, rough Roman hands of the soldiers. He was to experience great pain in his feet, and yet here he is engrossed with comforting his brethren. Are we tender? I can admit this morning that I need the mirror here. Tender to the children, tender to the sick, tender to the aged. Or is our service given? Is our service rendered in a grudging way or in a hard way? Or is it with an unloving spirit? It's a tender service. Practical service, it's an example of humility, and it's an example of tender service. That's all well and good, but what are the expectations of Christ? What does He expect? He told us that ye should do as I have done to you. Doesn't that change how we look at this picture? Doesn't that change how we take or what we take away from the scene? Had He not said, this is what I have done and you should do it too, we could walk away with it as though it's some great exception, some wonderful story that He allowed into the Gospels. But really, there's no getting away from these words. I have given you an example. It's an example for all to follow. For all to follow. A-L-L. Capital A, capital L, capital L. Bold, capital A, capital L, capital L. There's no exceptions. Now, I believe, you know, this is my opinion, you can think what you want, but I believe that Peter became a great apostle. He became one of the great ones, writing some books for us and some epistles in the New Testament, things that are relevant to us even today. Peter was a great man. He became a real spiritual leader, a hero in the church. But Peter was not any less bound to this service than any of the other disciples. Even though he became a great man in the church, he was not exalted above his master who knelt before him, girded with an apron and washed his feet. Even though he said, no, I will not let you. I cannot let you. And Jesus told him, you must, Peter. Peter was no greater than his master. It's one for all to follow. That's the expectation of Christ. And it's an example to be carried out in spirit. We are to be humble enough to kneel in spirit at one another's feet, willing to obey and willing to forget ourselves and willing to comfort and to help whoever, whenever the occasion may offer. Not just within these four walls, when the lights are on for church, but when the lights are off here and we're the church outside of these four walls, when we are the church outside in the community, among the neighbors, here and there in Yom. It's an example that He expects us to copy. Let me tell you this morning that according to what I can see in this passage and what I can read and understand from what He is giving us, I believe that I can very confidently tell you this morning that it'll be a disappointment to Christ if we fail to follow His example. It'll be a disappointment if we fail to do so. It would be in vain that He laid aside His glory and took upon Himself the form of a servant if we will not follow His lead. There's one thing that we really haven't mentioned that is very, perhaps we could say it's very profound in this story. And that goes back to verse number 4. He's given us the example. We've seen the example, practical service, humility, tender service, and that he expects us to follow. He'll be disappointed if we don't follow. It's for all of us to follow. It's an example to be carried out in spirit. But in verse number 4, it tells us that he laid aside. Do you see that? Did you catch that? He laid aside his garments. Maybe we read too much in, maybe I'm reading too much into it this morning. But I think that it's vital enough for him to clarify it here. It's vital enough for the disciple to pick up on it, to show it here. It may be vital enough for us to be able to draw and glean something from it as well. There's some things that maybe we need to lay aside in order for us to be what he wants us to be, following his example. Dare I say it this morning? I know that as soon as I say it, somebody's mind is going to wander because we pick out something and it catches our attention and we don't follow through and catch the whole. So let me preface what I'm saying with that statement. Hear me out. Hear me out all the way to the end. One of the things that we need to lay aside is our convictions. Not laying them aside in the sense that we are getting rid of them, but laying them aside as an agenda to be driven to the person that we are serving. Oh, hold dearly to them, hang on to them, clutch them near and dear and close to the heart. Hang on to those convictions. We dare not let those convictions go, but sometimes I think we need to lay them aside as an agenda to be driven to somebody else. We need to lay aside our notions. We need to lay aside our prejudices. There's some things that we hang on to. There's some things that we clutch. Go ahead and clutch them. Go ahead and hang on to them, but lay them aside when you are serving. I believe that most of our prejudices can be gotten rid of. We can get rid of those prejudices. Maybe we could even just get rid of our notions. Hang on to your convictions, but lay them aside as an agenda to be driven and be of service. Be of service. Tender care, humility of spirit, practical. I might even add here, sometimes our practical service may be taken as an offense to somebody, which time we need to be careful and sensitive. For instance, if I were to stop along the road, which I have before in a suit, to help somebody with a flat tire, I can take my suit, my jacket off and my tie off, but I still have a white shirt and dress pants on, and that person feels bad that I am helping them with their tire because I have dress clothes on. Well, I do my very best to stay clean. I will tell them I can change this without getting my shirt and pants dirty. And if I do get them dirty, then I just simply tell them it's easy to clean. But you know, sometimes our practical service may be taken as an offense to somebody else. They may appreciate it, but we need to be careful about how we are presenting. And be aware that we may be stepping on their toes some way. I don't think that Jesus did this to step on toes, although he did step on Peter's. But he clearly cleared it up with Peter. What are we talking about this morning? We're simply talking about, as he has given us an example, that we are to do as he has done. As Christians, as followers of Christ, his disciples, following after Jesus. He set us an example. He'll be disappointed if we do not follow. Let's pattern ourselves to follow His pattern. To allow His Spirit to fill us so that we can be the fullness of His example. Let's stand together this morning. Praise God. Thank you for your attendance this morning, for your attention. The Lord bless you. Give you a good day in Christ. Amen. Joey Hall, would you dismiss us in prayer?